And his paper today is on a topic I'm very interested in, anarcho-monks. Is neo-monasticism part of the new anarchist wave?
Thank you for your presentation. First of all, I would like to announce that the title is Islings Living, since arguably new anarchists are not really anarchists, and since new monastics are definitely not monastics, at least in the traditional sense. But we'll come to that. So, traditionally, anarchism is a highly anti-religious ideology, since its roots, the theorists have identified church and institutionalized religion as one of the sources of domination that it's important to resist. But on the other hand, we can identify several Christian thinkers or religious thinkers from other religious traditions that engage in dialogue with anarchism, or even will identify themselves as anarchists. So this leads us to verify that anarchism as an ideology is highly susceptible to influence or even dialogue with the radical Christian thought, as well as other lines of thought that I will not mention in this presentation. So, radical Christianity is a tradition that manifests itself in many forms, in many movements, and many positions. The ones I'm willing to talk about today are the ones that inspire themselves in the monastic way of life. And not being monks, at least in the traditional sense, they start to lay intentional communities. They usually move to poor neighborhoods or old sacred grounds or rural undeveloped parts of the country. And also they usually engage in social justice activism. I would like to answer the question in the title, discovering if this movement, this new monastic movement, can be understood as part of the new anarchist tendency. To answer that, I will start with a little introduction on new anarchism. It has been talked yesterday and also today, this issue of new anarchism, but I'm going to present it really shortly, talk about its characteristics and its historical development, and then I'm going to show you what is neo-monasticism, what is its history, its development, and most important part for this question, what is its politics, what's the politics of the movement, in order to understand if it fits in the new anarchist label or not. So, first of all, what's new anarchism? Several thinkers across several academic disciplines, sociologists, philosophers, anthropologists, have come to understand that new social movements are adopting principles that were traditionally associated with libertarian movements. This doesn't mean they are anarchists, they don't self-identify as anarchists, they usually don't have a critique of the state, or at least they usually don't want to end the state, but they are adopting principles, ways of action, ways of organizing that were traditionally developed or traditionally found among anarchist movements or socialist libertarian movements. Principles such as direct democracy, self-organizing, critique of political representation. These have been pointed, first of all, by David Graeber on his article on New Left Review on 2002. He was referring to the alter-globalist movement, or the global justice movement. And then the idea went to Richard Day, Uri Gordon, Thomas Nail, many others have seen this same tendency among new social movements. It went all the way to Saul Newman, who said that today anarchy is the ethical political horizon of all radical politics. So I've tried to read all the authors that refer this tendency, this revival of libertarian principles among the social movements, and I try to synthesize every aspect that they refer to. So this table is my personal synthesis of these many authors that refers to new anarchism, neo-anarchism, anarchist revival, and all that stuff. So I've divided it in axiological choices and in organization and action. So in axiological choices, you have the values, the things that really shape the movement in an affirmative and positive way. We have horizontalism, we have participation, intersectionality, meaning here the interdependence and solidarity across several lines of struggle. And also we have programmatic openness, meaning that these movements adopting this tendency, they don't have clear doctrinal lines, they don't have clear programs, and this is usually what makes them, one of the points that makes them object of criticism. They are perceived as purely negative because they resist to present a clear program, clear set of objectives, and clear doctrinal line. In the part of anti-values, the thing they actively oppose to, we have domination. As we have seen, domination has multiple aspects, and they fight domination in one or in many of its aspects, being the ecological destruction, patriarchy, etc. Also, they are highly critical of capitalism, like George referred to yesterday, is one of the defining characteristics of today's new social movements, the anti-capitalist conscience. And also, they are becoming increasingly critical of political representation. In the ways of organizing and taking action, we see option towards direct democracy and consensus, on network-shaped movements, being within the movements, kind of horizontal network type of relations between members, and also among different movements. The different movements relate to each other, not in a structure, not even on a federalist kind of way. They relate usually as a network, as a horizontal network. And also an option, a preferential option towards direct action and prefiguration. Prefiguration means that the struggle already embodies and already shows the type of society that it aims to build. So about the development of this libertarian revival, maybe call it libertarian revival or libertarian political culture. It's better than new anarchism, the term that Graeber chose, that is highly misleading, because it seems that these people are becoming anarchists or are calling themselves anarchists, that when that's not what's happening. Maybe it's better calling it a libertarian political culture. So it all began in the 60s and the 70s. The youth movements, the black liberation, feminism, and pacifist movements began to adopt kind of libertarianism, in most focused on lifestyle choices, on their critique of prevailing culture, but also somewhat in their politics. Of course, they weren't close to what we call today new anarchism, because they focus either on demand politics or on evasion, like the EP movement, on creating spaces outside, on trying to run away from confrontation or from oppression. Later in the 90s, with the outer globalist movement, the picture is of the famous Seattle battle, it's when these tendencies became more evident, with network-shaped movements, with a great focus on intersectionality and bottom-up organization and tactics. That's when Graeber wrote his article, The New Anarchists, calling attention to the phenomenon. And later in 2011, I think it's when it really got evident, Arab Spring, the Indignados, the Occupy movement, they all, not being libertarian movements, or not being at least anarchist movements, they all took many elements and principles and ways of acting and organizing from libertarian political culture. They all look leaderless, assembly oriented, acting mainly and in direct action. So this is new anarchism. Now I'm going to explain what is neo-monasticism in order to try to understand if it fits this kind of theoretical construction, this label or not. So neo-monasticism, from what I've been talking to many of you these days, it's not that well known. Many haven't ever heard of it. So the point about radical Christianity is that among all the ages Christianity has existed, there have always been some kind of spirit of dissatisfaction with Christianity, with not only with its ideas and its thoughts, but also with the way the message of the Gospels is institutionalized and the way it really exists in the world. So we have across the history of Christianity many different manifestations of radical Christian thought. More recently, we have the charismatic movement or charismatic renewal. We have the emerging church, the house church movement, and one of these movements is the neo-monastic. Neo-monastic movement is among these communities and movements inspired inspired by a spirit of dissatisfaction with Christianity and its way of being institutionalized, is the ones that look for monastic life as a way of inspiration. So they are not monks, but the ones that look for monastic life. It's an heterogeneous group of communities. We have many different communities, each one with their characteristics, but I would say that the unifying characteristics are a strong focus on community. The life in community is a really important point of the movement. Many of these communities, they live together, others live close to each other but meet on a regular basis. And the other unifying feature is their focus on social justice. Demographically, it's an heterogenic crowd, like it's usual on the new social movements, but predominantly white, young, single, middle class evangelicals. The movement exists in several countries, France, United Kingdom, but it's stronger and it's well known where it arrived last, in the United States. So that's why they have so much evangelicals. The 12 Marks of Neo-Monasticism is a document built from bottom up by members of the communities and the groups. And they try to write this document listing what makes a community part of neo-monastic movement. What does it mean to be neo-monastic? Like the name says, it's 12 marks enumerate the characteristics of the movement. I will present you some of them, mostly these ones that are focused on community, and the next ones focus on the values that and issues that are important to the movement. Regarding community, these marks show us that it's basically a movement of intentional communities. They have a focus on relocation, meaning that, like I said before, that they go live to poor neighborhoods, to poor rural areas, or to old sacred grounds, and also they have a focus on sharing, the resources among them and with the communities that accept them. The marks that point some of the values or some of the issues that are relevant to this movement also provides some understanding of what is neo-monasticism about. It talks about they strongly oppose racism, they care for environmental destruction and the protection of nature, and also they are being Christians, of course, they are committed to peacemaking and resistance to war and violence. I'll give a little history of how this movement came to be, the historical development of the movement. The first picture is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous Lutheran pastor that opposed the Nazi regime during Second World War. So the first, I'm going to talk in three phases, three steps. The first one is from Second World War to the 70s. In the Second World War, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote on a letter to his brother that he thought that what Christianity needs is some sort of new monasticism. This concept later inspired the movement itself. On this era, since the 40s until the 70s, we see both the growth and the beginning of movements that, not being new monastic, they began experimenting with the stuff that later will characterize the movement itself. We see here the beginning of L'Arche community. It's a community of intentional. It's an intentional community that hosts both able-bodied people and disabled people. They live together communally. We saw also the birth of the community of Tézé. It's an ecumenical community of real monks, not like these ones. Real monks that they receive lots of young people to go pray there, and they have an important focus on ecumenism and peace building. Also, we saw the growth of movements like Catholic Worker Movement and the Bruderhof. Later, from the 70s to the 90s, this picture is the symbol of Catholic Worker Movement. Later in from the 70s to the 90s, we saw the slowly building of the consequence of Second Vatican Council among the Catholic Church, among the Reformed churches. We saw the beginning of a missionary spirit, the beginning of many missionary groups among Reformed Christianity, and mainly in the United States, it was the time for an evangelical left, like this magazine Sojourner and Tony Campolo. They began creating a culture of left among American evangelicals. So that brings us to the 90s until now. From the 90s until now, that's where the movement got to the United States, and it got famous by the writings of the main spokespersons, people like Shane Claiborne, who is in this picture, or also Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove. And then the defining point in the development of this movement was in 2004. A meeting was called to all the communities and new monastic groups, and that's when they wrote the 12 marks. So I'm now going to fastly about the politics of new monasticism. First of all, it's important to understand that they are a religious movement, not a political movement, but their faith informs their politics. So their reading and their understanding of the Gospels inform how they act politically. In their action, we see them involved in demos, in civil disobedience, and also in their direct action, mainly concerned with issues like war, poverty, the death penalty, environmentalism and racism. On their slot, we see a mix that's usually found among new anarchists, a mix of many different thoughts. In this case, we see elements of personalism or church social doctrine of Christian anarchism, the writings of Elul and Yoder. a great focus on the social implications of the gospel, and a hope for a new social order. That's what they call the kingdom of God. It's understood as a social order, as opposed to this present social order. And the ways of organizing, they are mainly organized as a network of communities and of groups. Each community is self-governed, and they use the consensus as their main way of taking decisions. So now I would like to conclude answering if new monasticism is a way of new anarchism or not. It's difficult to answer this question. We cannot expect a yes or no answer, because new monasticism, as I presented, a movement of intentional communities inspired by the monastic way of life, has many characteristics of the concept of new anarchism. In the way they act politically, taking direct action, building the local communities, in their thought, in which we identify elements of Christian anarchism, but also other radical Christian thinkers, and also in the way of organizing. I refer to the organizing network, and they self-govern themselves by consensus. Okay. So they reveal many elements of what we would call new anarchism, or what we would call preferentially libertarian political culture. But I can't say the movement as a whole is new anarchist, because first of all, the movement predates this tendency. The movement starts, the really new monastic community started during the 70s, during the 60s, so the first ones in France and in the United Kingdom. So we cannot say it's new anarchist, because it predates it. And also because these first communities, not all of them have this social activism ethos. Most of them are really more spirituality and not engaging in political questions. So what I answer to the question if new monasticism is new anarchistic or not, I would say that mostly is third stage. When arriving to the United States, we have a new anarchist movement because of its late blooming. It was influenced by the new anarchist tendency, and because of the role of evangelical left in the formation of the movement. Many of the people involved in the United States part of the new monasticism has been influenced by the civil rights movement, the ecology movement, the nonviolence, the anti-war movement. So I would say only the third part of only the Americans could be said to be new anarchists. Thank you for your attention.